Congratulations, you're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast, with me, Kate Rhodes, and Maysoon Waswas. But Maysoon is sick this week, sadly. But we've got a great interview coming up for you. I just wanted to let you know that if you're listening to this on the wee hours of the morning on Saturday, December 1st, then you still have a shot to go see my weird cow show over there at this gallery called Telematic. It's in Soma at 323 10th Street, basically on the corner of 10th and Folsom. Go check it out. If you don't get to it, email me and I'll just send you all the videos that were in the show, okay? Also, Sarah Hotchkiss and Stephanie Roffles. I hope I'm saying your name right, Stephanie. Their show is up over there at Royal Nonsuch Gallery for the rest of today and Sunday. There's all kinds of things going on. Send us the shows you're doing. We'll shout them out. Okay, now buckle in for the interview of a lifetime. We're out here in beautiful Oakland, California, talking to artist, writer, educator, Jenny Odell. Okay, here's the deal. You just put out an article in the New York Times, because you're like basically legit as fuck, right? About this fucking insane, like, I don't even know what to call it. It's almost a conspiracy.
Yeah, basically. I mean, it felt that way by the end.
So just to give a very brief digest, you had a student, you teach at Stanford.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And you had a student who was getting all these, like, returns from, like, weird Amazon stores to their house.
Yeah. Well, one Amazon store.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you fucking went deep down in the wormhole and figured out that it was just a web of insanity. Do you want to say a little more about it to listeners?
Sure. It's a little bit hard to summarize, which is the reason it's a 5,000 word piece.
And not just that, but with animations and multiple panes.
Yes, many screen recordings and GIFs. They had someone design the page.
Looks fantastic.
Extra weird. So
and scary.
Yeah, it's very creepy. I'm glad that other people also find it creepy, and anyone who's listening, I think you will find it also creepy when you read it.
Bone chilling.
Yeah, don't read it alone before bed. Scary e-commerce.
So you found out.
One of my students, mentioned the package thing to me. It's actually his parents' house in Palo Alto, and they were attempted returns to a company with like a nondescript name, like Valley Fountain. And I just did some Googling, as I do, came across this address in San Francisco. It's a suite, and it had 140 LLCs registered to it. And they had names like Bro Pastures.
Yes, that was a good one.
Yeah. Giggling Eye with alternating.
That also was a creepy one.
Yeah. Alternating caps on that one, like 90s. Giggling mm-hmm. Eye. Damp Store.
It's not as creepy when you say it out loud, yeah, I think.
But it's all caps. Damp Store. You know?
Yep.
I noticed that a lot of them had one person in common who's kind of shadowy figure. And they also had in common that many of their agents, registered agents, had ties to Olivet University, which is like had already been in the news because they were affiliated with the Newsweek Media Group.
So they like bought Newsweek as they were like failing.
Yes. Formerly. So they were Ivy Times and then they bought Newsweek and rebranded themselves Newsweek Media Group. And Joe, my boyfriend, was like basically let go from Newsweek.
So you didn't know
any. Yeah.
This all came out through you trying to track this package that your student got, which that had to be really freaky for you.
It was super disorienting. I actually, at the beginning, the story was just going to be about these weird Amazon storefronts because I figured out that what they were doing was they'd have 400,000 and upwards products that have nothing in common. They're just like this postmodern jumble of like, well, you've been at the dump, so you know what that's like. Just things like things just next to each other, like butane fuel next to like a horse mask next to like butt cream.
But that was my favorite.
So if you go to them, you'll see they have all these products and they each say that they're almost out of stock. And then when you, and they're sort of oddly expensive. And then the delivery time is like 3 weeks. So basically what's happening is you buy something on there and then in 3 weeks you get, and I did this, I bought some lipstick from one of them. You get your product shipped from another Amazon seller with literally the invoice.
Yes.
Of the person, like, whoever turned around and bought it and had it shipped to you for the actual price. So you just have this, like, piece of paper that basically tells you that you paid, like, twice as much as you should have.
Like, right there.
Like, right in the package.
In your face.
Yeah.
So did you have a suspicion that that kind of was what was happening with these packages that were coming to the student? Because you did that reportage yes. about these, like, cheapo watches.
Yeah.
Oh, remember that?
Yeah.
That was kind of the same situation, right?
It was similar.
Drop shipping?
Yeah.
Is that what that's called?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yes. Well, so this, yeah, they have something in common. So, and I should also say the reason that the student brought this up in the first place was because he knew about that piece and that I was okay. like into drop shipping. And so they were getting these packages and he was like, oh, I wonder if it's this drop shipping thing. This, even though I bring up dropshipping in the piece, this isn't really dropshipping.
It's a whole nother animal.
Yeah, it's like much weird. Like, dropshipping is legal. It's sort of weird, but it's legal. This is like, you know, instead of turning around and having something shipped directly to you from a factory in China, it's like shipped to you directly from another vendor. And in my case, it was a place called Crispy Beauty.
Right, which was like a whole nother.
That's just something
wait,
else.
Yeah. What? So wait, where are they coming from? Is it going through like multiple layers of weird fake businesses?
Well, it's really, there's a gray area on Amazon. I really look so horrified. Like, you look, okay, anyone can go on Amazon and say like, this is my quote unquote storefront. And I go and I select these items and I, you know, and you would assume this person has an inventory of them. And this, in my case, or these, you know, companies I was dealing with, they don't. But you'd assume they have the lipstick, right? And then when you order it, you send the lipstick to them. That's not that. There's nothing wrong with that, right? So right. Crispy Beauty could very well be one of those. But the difference is that Valley Fountain LLC, when you try to buy the lipstick from them, they are sort of pretend, or they're implying that they have it in stock, that they have like only three left, but they're actually just turning around and buying it from another seller and having it shipped to you.
But so anyhow, so point is, turns out they're connected to this motherfucking Christian college, right?
Yes.
The Mount Olivet.
Oh, it's, so there's Mount,
was it? Yep.
There's Olivet University, and then there's like, I think there's Mount Olivet, and they're different.
Okay.
So Olivet University is the quote unquote school in question.
And they were like bringing people from China, right? On like student visas.
Mm-hmm.
And then having them work for them.
Yes.
Maintaining these weird shops, like, online.
I can't say that for sure.
Is that going into the realm of libel and slander?
Well, I also want to give credit where credit is due. Like, somebody wrote a really good piece in Mother Jones in 2014.
Oh, right.
Where they showed that IB Times was, yeah, bringing, just what you said, bringing like Chinese, like young people from China over on student visas. I think putting them up on Treasure Island.
Right here in the yeah. Bay Area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So many bay ties in this story.
And then having them write clickbait for IB Times.
Right,
so
okay.
It's possible that they were also then running these online
being
stores.
Being imprisoned. Yeah.
We don't know. Yeah.
We don't know. We won't comment on
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Okay, sure enough. I will say that everything I do on this podcast and any other form of audio or print is an art project, parody and satire, and therefore protected legally.
Oh, that's good to know. So, okay, so I figured that out. And the moment when I figured that out, I was sitting on the couch in the living room and I was starting to notice these Olivet University connections. And Joe was in the other room and I was like, Joe, I think this like has to do with your former employer. And so, yeah, then it's like, basically it turned into this thing where there are like on almost like a higher level than the Amazon storefronts, there are these online businesses that are similar in their sort of like weird product assortments, but they have their own websites and they seem they put a little more effort into like seeming like they actually exist and are in a place. And those had many, many ties to like people in the Newsweek Media Group, all of at university. It all kind of like spirals around like these two addresses that like just keep showing up everywhere. This is where I started to feel really crazy and had to like draw like an insane diagram.
Did you have like red yarn from thumbtack to thumbtack?
I really wish that I had, because then I would, you know, I basically had I used this like janky like web like browser based diagram thingy, and it like looks like a really ugly Mark Lombardi piece. Like it's so ugly. So,
what about the motherfucking cult thing?
Oh, yeah. So, okay, Olivet University was founded by David Jang, who is a Korean evangelical dude. There's plenty of, like, if you want to go down another rabbit hole, plenty of coverage on that whole thing.
And they're called The Community.
The Community. So there's
that's creep. That alone was a creepy sticking point.
Yeah. I know. I was like, I sort of vaguely knew about it before, but then obviously I had to like look more into it. And they are buying up property all over the place, kind of taking over businesses. And then in the case of what I was looking into, like buying, like very quietly buying businesses, like AKA Newsweek, but also other like weird random things. And then taking them over, but with no sort of sign of turnover. And like, if you use Wayback Machine, like I'm obsessed with Wayback Machine, you look back at the archive versions of these pages and like everything is normal up to a certain point. And then it just gets, the language gets really weird. Like this furniture store that's in my article, like at some point, if you want to actually buy the furniture, and this is like an old furniture company that's been around like since, you know, the mid 20th century, it suddenly says like, find the wooden furniture of your dreams.
Yes.
In a weird font, like, and dreams, like the word dreams keeps showing up everywhere on these, and they're like, I don't know, there's just something like off looking about like everything. And I have lots of links in the story, so you can like just go look at the websites, and it's like
pod people.
We're pod people.
Where there's like an alien comes and takes over the people, and they look the same, but they act like fucking pod people.
That's literally what. So there's a department store in downtown New York that they took over, and it is like a real store. I had my editors go and visit it for me, and they confirmed that it was very weird. On the second floor, there's all this wooden furniture. I saw a Yelp review where someone was like, "I love their handmade wooden furniture, like established, blah blah blah, like whatever the." It was like an ad for this furniture, and then when I Googled it, I found this Facebook post of this person who had a studio next to the place where they made that furniture in upstate New York. And the post was like, "Oh, I'm so sad. Hunt Country Furniture is closing. I might lose my studio." And then there's a photo of the place with closing signs on it. So I sent him a message and I was like, "Can you like tell me what happened to that place?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, someone from the community came and like took it over. And like, I don't know what's going on with it. And it's super weird." And he was like, "Please look into this. It's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers."
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And it's in the same vicinity as this former psychiatric hospital.
That was the fucking freakiest part.
That the community also took over, and it's supposed to be part of Olivet University.
A abandoned psychiatric hospital.
It's so creepy looking.
It kind of reminded me, and some of the language too reminded me of the International Art Museum of America.
Oh, totally,
which is an art museum on Market Street, right near Civic Center in San Francisco. Listeners of the podcast should remember episode 18, The Treasure Room. Go back and listen. I'll put a link. But which is a front for a cult.
Yeah. Right? Oh, is it really? It's got that vibe.
Yep.
For sure.
100%. The guy, Dorje Chang Buddha III, who's supposed to be the reincarnation of the Buddha, just lives down in Pasadena, and 80% or more of the art in the museum, in scare quotes, is his work, supposedly. Oh my God. And like, you go in and it's real freaky, and they're selling tile. We could do a whole thing on whatever. Where's that fucking tile coming from?
And where is it going?
Who knows? And like, who are the people keeping this place open? What the people that work there in the gift shop, like, what's happening to them? God, I don't know. That's the thing, like, you only can get so deep on these things, you know?
Yeah.
It feels like, I mean, Anyhow, there's more to the story. What about the fucking bookstore guy?
Oh, right, right. So a similar thing to the furniture store happened with a bookstore, Christian bookstore, in Raleigh, North Carolina, where there it's called Stevens Books. It was called Stevens Books. There was a guy named Dick Stevens, and it was, again, like established like 1954. I forget the year, but again, quietly taken over. Website goes through a bunch of weirdnesses. and there, at one point, there was a very complicated description of their relationship to Dick Stevens, where it sounded like he was dead. Yeah, and he's not.
In memory of him.
They were like, he watches over us. Or I don't know. It was like just this weird, like trying to explain like this relationship. Anyway, so then at some point they open up another brick and mortar bookstore, and it's in the Excelsior in San Francisco. Yeah. And I was like, oh shit, like I can just go there. And so I was like scared, so I brought some friends.
Good for you.
And it's a bookstore. Like, you can buy books there. I've since heard from people, they're like, oh, like I have bought a book there.
It's not just like overtly weird right off the bat, because they're also selling other weird shit too.
I mean, it's just seemed like maybe like not a great bookstore.
Just like a shitty bookstore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I walked in, and at this was pretty late in my research. So like I immediately recognized like a lot of the quote unquote brands that were being. So when you walk in, there's a bookshelf, and it had like silicone pads for the insides of like bras. Retinol
That's
cream.
Not normal for a bookstore.
Yeah, retinol cream.
What even is that?
It's like, I mean, retinol cream is like its own scam,
like cleanser,
right?
Face stuff.
It's like eye, like for your eye.
Oh shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Anti-aging.
Yeah, exactly. And then like lots of fidget spinners. So just a bunch of weird stuff. And then like lots of business books, very foregrounded. Lots of like Steve Jobs type stuff. There is he says that he's not the owner, but there's several articles online that describe him as the owner. This guy, Joseph Volansky, who has two Facebook profiles, and one is Joseph Stevens, and the other one is like Joseph, like spelled differently, Volansky. And the Joseph Stevens profile is all like, come to the bookstore, and it's all just like fun bookstore things. And the Joseph Volansky one is like super community affiliated, like all the Facebook likes or like all the other things in the story is like all connected to that. And so I saw him when I was there, and he was just, you know, moving some boxes around or whatever. And then I bought a book called Redeeming Halloween, because they're all Christian books.
Yeah.
And it was just like a very weird experience. Like, I didn't even know like where to pay for it. And I feel bad about quoting this like in the article, but the three people who were working there were very like young, and the guy was like, oh, do you want to check that out? And I was like, no, I want to buy it. And he was like, oh, that's right, we're not a library. But like, it was just like, maybe if you weren't looking for things that were off, like you wouldn't notice anything.
Right.
And then when I got home, I researched like all the brands and stuff, and it all just like tied all the way back to everything else. So, but that was definitely the weird, like just experientially, like the weirdest part for me, because it's like, I used to live in San Francisco, and like, I used to live not that far from the Excelsior. And it's like there's a store, and like you would just never know. You would just think it was sort of weird, but it's like tied to like not just one other thing, but like five other things that are all like, you know, interconnected in this like insane way.
What the fuck is going on? Okay, questions. So since you had this come out in the New York Times, like, what's going on with you, and have they said anything to you, and how's it going? Because when Maysoon and I did the thing about the IAMA, they came for us. They sent us, they listened to the entire show and sent us like a point by point list of how we were wrong and all this stuff. And we got scared, generally in a weird metaphysical way, that they were going to like fly or some crazy shit, but also like legally that they would sue us or something like that. Because like these kind of things always seem so like litigious or whatever to like protect their shit, even though it seems like it's kind of out there that like the shit's sketchy as fuck. How are you doing? Are you changing your passwords constantly? What are you doing methodologically?
So I haven't heard anything from them. I was worried about it, but the story honestly feels like using a slingshot against like some enormous thing that's like already being toppled. Like it's already in the process. Like there's been so much reporting, like, you know, serious reporting. Like,
weren't they raided and stuff. Yeah. The whole Newsweek thing was, that was like, they went too far.
Yeah. Like it was too weird. So they got raided by the Manhattan DA. People are looking into it.
So you think they're going down?
I don't know, but I know that I'm sort of not first in line to get sued.
Okay, sure enough.
Yeah.
Do you think that the ties go all the way back to like large, like global power governments?
I don't know. You know what I will say? This is as much as I'll say. The two companies that are kind of central to the story, one is called Ivy Port and the other one is called Every Market, exists in some form in other countries in confusing ways that I feel like that's kind of where my diagram left off. Like there, I just couldn't go that far. You know, like it's already a 5,000 word piece. It's in the style section. You know, I'm not an investigative journalist. But that's like, there's something.
Do you think that's there. What's going on? Okay, so we kind of talked about how there's all these, you know, all the YouTube videos for children on YouTube that seem to be kind of, I know human beings make them, but it almost seems like all the elements are chosen by an algorithm to like just put like Spider-Man and Elsa from Frozen and like whatever shit kids would click on. And then it takes them down a fucking rabbit hole of insanity where it's just like songs and mishmash. Okay, so I always thought that was just weird. But then I talked to my students about it at SFAI. But then they were like, well, a lot of these things are a lot of the people making these are in like India and Pakistan trying to make money off of YouTube. And actually, like, what we should be freaked out about is like, you know, the exploitation of labor in like the global south and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So do you think that's also part of it?
Like, clearly, like, someone is running these Amazon storefronts, and it is and they are affiliated, at least some of them are affiliated with the school. Seems super weird.
Amazon's getting money from it, right? Yeah, they get a cut.
Amazon has like a lot of problems with scams that like this is just one of, like, the whole textbook thing where there's like a $22,000 textbook, you know.
Fuck.
Which that's just money laundering. So, but in this case, it's like, it is troubling to think that some students of this university, like under the, or like using this language of like classes that teach entrepreneurship are just being tasked with like running these like weird storefronts. Like that is a troubling thought and very exploitative. It's also a little bit confusing because I've gotten a lot of emails from people that are like, they're really funny. Actually, they're like, so you never really like get to the bottom of like the why. And I'm like, yeah, that's the point. Like the story is about me being like, what the fuck? And then like, and then I'm just confused at the end. And like, that's what the story is about. Like, you know, and like, and it's just funny because these emails are like, they're like, well, I know you did a lot of research, but like, what do you really think is going on? And I'm like, oh, I just like arbitrarily withheld that in the article. So, but I'll tell you in an email, like, or like, oh, now that you ask, maybe I'll look into it. Maybe I'll ask that question. It's people reading the story like want there to be this, like, they want to know why. And like with the watch thing that I did last year, I didn't know the why in that case either. Like I just like identified this like process that was happening with these watches. And then after that, Alexis Madrigal wrote, I think in The Atlantic, like, about, he got kind of like one step further. Like he found these like e-commerce bros that like do like how-tos on how to like run this Shopify website with your like Alibaba like imported watches, and then Reply All, the podcast. Yes. They looked further into it, and they basically found the answer, which was these like free watches that you get supposedly for free on Instagram. No one's actually making money off, and that's also not really technically a scam. It's just like a scammy thing to do, but no one's actually making money off of that. The only people making money are the people making videos about how to make money doing that.
Fuck.
So
I even listened to that episode and I forgot about it.
Yeah. Well, because it's so like, it's this long thing, right? And you don't really find out until the end. And so I wonder, like, in this case.
So wait, the actual drop shipping people aren't making any damn money.
Yeah.
Fuckaroo. Do you remember back in like the 90s, there were these infomercials on at night where this guy was telling you about how you needed to call in and write in and send whatever amount of money, and he's going to help you make money by placing very cheap ads in newspapers all over the country?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I don't know. I hope those are on YouTube.
I don't remember what the fuck. I mean, I feel like it's another one where he never gets to the fucking point of like, what are you selling? Like, what are the ads selling? What are the ads? But it's like another thing where it's like, you're really just getting him. He's getting money from you with your dream.
Yeah.
Dreams.
Yeah. Find the wooden furniture of your dreams. Yeah. So I don't know, in this case, like, I feel like I'm seeing like that intermediary stage where like no one's like, haha, I'm gonna charge like twice as much for a lipstick, and like that's how they're making, like, that's not what's happening. Like, the other thing in these emails that people are sending me is like they have their own speculations, and like a lot of them think it's money laundering, but I don't know. I really don't know. So I hope that like once again maybe someone like takes the baton and like
sure
finds out why it's a lot of effort to like have these not totally real businesses that are like, you know, not well fleshed out or convincingly, but somewhat fleshed out online with addresses and stuff.
So many of them.
Yeah. And it's like, if it's hard for me to keep it straight, like, hard for them to keep it straight.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
God, that's so fucking weird.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyhow, you got a book coming out.
Yeah.
How about it? Is it kind of like, what's kind of the basis for it? Like your talk, yeah. Your How to Do Nothing talk.
Yes.
I saw you do it at the Museum of Capitalism, and that is my favorite artist talk I've ever been to.
Oh, thank you.
Really, it made me well up. Like, I almost cried. Yeah. I might have shed some tears. It was so fucking good. How long is the... Okay, so do you want to give a little bit about what it was?
Oh, the talk?
Yeah,
it was...
It was expansive.
I mean, I wrote it kind of not that long after the election, right. So I was responding to that, and it starts with me kind of asking why I was going to the Rose Garden and sitting... The Rose Garden on Grand Ave in Oakland, mm-hmm. And sitting there and kind of doing nothing, and that just doing nothing, and like why I felt instinctually like compelled to do that at that time. And then it kind of turns into this like argument for non-productive time and spaces as, you know, obviously a way to maintain oneself and like maintain a community, but also to just like push back on this idea of like the self as like an algorithm or like a something that needs to be like producing all the time, like basically the logical conclusion of like time is money, to just like push against that. So yeah, it was about birds.
There were so many birds. The walk of mothers. Yeah. The mother's walk of fame.
I don't even remember, what is it called? The
Mother of the year.
Yeah.
And the train. Fuck, man. It's so good. So you're writing a book based on these ideas. And it's fucking done. How long is it?
It is, that's a good question. It's 6 chapters.
Fuck. Are there pictures?
No pictures.
What?
Yeah.
That's like full blown page after page of text.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
It's just a book.
Well done.
Yeah. Thank you.
When does it come out?
April 9th.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right around the corner.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? Are you going to move?
Why would I have to move? No, I'm still going to be here.
Are you going
to
go on a book tour?
Apparently, yes.
God, I'm getting so excited.
Wow.
What do you have? What's coming up next?
I'm going to be a columnist at Open Space.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Starting in January.
What are you going to write about? Are you
going
to find out some weird ass shit again?
Maybe. So I know one of the things I want to write about, and I don't know, maybe I won't if it turns out to be not that interesting, but, I don't know why I came across this. There's a place up by Humboldt. It's a town. And I recently talked to someone who lives near there, and they said it's like very small, population, called Manila. And I was like, okay, why is it called? And I'm half Filipino. So mm-hmm. like my mom grew up in Manila. And then I looked it up on Wikipedia, and it just says like, it's named after Manila.
Okay.
Philippines. and it was named that sometime in the 20th century.
And are there a lot of Filipino people there?
I highly doubt it. I have to go up to Humboldt State anyway, like in the spring. And apparently there's a librarian who might know some stuff about it.
Sweet.
To talk to. But I just, you know, I love this idea of this like far flung, like it's really weird there too. It's like these like kind of dunes. Like it's not
like sand dunes.
Yeah. It doesn't look like what you think of like if you've ever been up near Eureka, it's like kind of strange up there. And so like that's where Manila is. So I want to check it out.
Okay, be careful. So weird. What's your general outlook?
On
everything.
Like everything?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like when I go into the kind of internet weird spaces, I don't know if it makes me feel like the world is going to end or like humanity is on the brink of devastation and ruin. But it kind of does.
Yeah, like it's not a good feeling.
No. But I don't know, though, because maybe there is a part of it that is like gives a sense of that there are still things in the world that are unexpected. Like, I feel like the internet has been kind of homogenized over the course of my lifetime. Like, I used to go to like 50 different websites every day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now I go to like two or maybe three if you count Instagram.
Yeah.
And so when you find the weird hidey holes of weird shit, even though they seem like dystopian sometimes,
yeah,
maybe there's a part of it that's kind of exciting.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I have an essay called How to Internet. It is on Medium, and it's about that kind of like mourning the loss of like randomness and just like finding weird stuff. Like that's like what our experience of the internet used to be, and that was like what it was good for, and also just like talking to strangers.
Yes.
Like, there was no filter bubble, at least in my memory, like at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And so one of the things that I mention in there, which you might enjoy if you don't know about it already, is image XXXX. So it's four X's. It's not porn.
Okay.
safe for work. Which I learned about from Joe. And Joe Vikes wrote a really great, like, long piece on this. Called The Lonely Web, which is I highly recommend. But it is this like Reddit pastime. There's a Reddit channel or where people do this, and you go onto YouTube and you type in IMG or MOV and then a random four digit number.
Oh,
and you
okay.
get all the videos that people didn't bother to title. And a lot of them, they're the opposite of the like, hey guys, it's me, like like beginning,
hit
middle,
that
end
subscribe button.
Yeah, it's the opposite of that, where it's like they start in the middle of something, like it's like in the middle of like some like high school dance, and then it just like ends abruptly.
Yes.
And they're just like really so the game on Reddit is that you were supposed to find a good one and then give it a really deadpan title of what it is. Like man eating chips while looking at a diamond ring. Which is like, it's like from the point of view of the guy, like, who's eating the chips. And so you just see these hands, like, inspecting a ring, and you just hear, like, chips, like, in the background. And it's, like, really disorienting and, like, surreal and weird, but it's, like, it is, like, somewhat random. And it's, like, these weird, like, it's, like, you're teleporting into these, like, pockets of, like, people's lives. And it's, like, fairly candid compared to the rest of YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
So highly recommend.
Okay. Yeah. So what do you think, though? Are we fucked?
Mostly yes. However, I have to say that the response to my Times piece has like been really heartening, because I've gotten a lot of like people just saying like thank you, which is like I didn't expect. And people saying like thank you for taking the time, or like thank you for like disentangling this. And then also someone referring, I didn't know this term, like open source intelligence. It's like OSINT, it's an acronym.
Cool.
Which just means like it's just publicly like doing an investigation with publicly available. Like I'm not a private investigator, I'm not an investigative journalist, I just googled stuff and I found a bunch of like weird lawsuits and strange things, but like those things are there for the taking. And so it's like I guess I'm encouraged by the possibility of doing that, like as a person, and then also by the fact that that seems to be something that people value, and that people recognize that like attention spans are shrinking. And so when someone spends the time and like pays attention to something, like people are like, oh, right, like that's like this is how you figure out what's actually going on. Like it is still possible. You know, like I said, I didn't totally get to the bottom of it, but I did like name some names and like figure out like some stuff. So I think that the fact that people even value that at all still, or maybe more than we used to, is says something.
I love that. Yeah. Let's end it there. That's perfect. End on a high note.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming by and talking to us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And as always, congratulations. All right, if you have any feedback for us about this episode or anything else going on in your life or anyone else's life, give us a call, 419-351-6606, or you can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast, or you can send us an email at congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. So, from the bridge to the other bridge to the island in between, this has been Congratulations Pine Tree.